Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Living Your Life with Leanne Lang podcast. Welcome back to my awesome weekly listeners and to anyone who is new to the podcast. Typically, I would be recording either from the Extension Marketing Studios or from Blast Podcast. With COVID-19 and social distancing, we are recording now through Skype, and special thanks to John Milkey from Blast Podcast for being on the other line and making sure that we can sound as best as we can these days. It's an exciting week for Kent McLeod with the launch of his latest book, Biology of the Brain: How Your Gut Microbiome Affects Your Brain. I had a chance to talk to Kent over 2 years ago when he was one of my very first guests on the podcast. I was incredibly grateful for the conversation, and it shifted the way I looked at medicine, natural health, preventative health, and the power we as individuals have on our own bodies. Kent, the founder and CEO of NutriChem Compounding Pharmacy and Clinic, is an international thought leader and award-winning pharmacist. He has over 35 years of clinical experience delivering patient-centered healthcare and is globally recognized as a hormone health and nutrition expert, lecturing on the gut's microbiome, hormones, mental health, Down syndrome, pediatrics, pain management, as well as pharmacology. In The Biology of the Brain, Kent breaks down why modern medicine is killing people instead of healing them. Instead of leaving the problem as it stands, he provides clear, actionable steps to not only heal your microbiome, but to restore your brain health and get your life back. And we aren't talking about a bloated stomach or stomach pains. The microbiome affects every single aspect of our health, from disease to chronic inflammation and obesity, and especially to our mental health, from depression to anxiety, stress management, even sleep disorders. All disease starts in the gut. That quote from Hippocrates, the father of medicine. And that is exactly where we are going today. So Kent, so excited to be able to have you back here today. I'm excited for you, and congratulations on this book. As I showed you, I had like yellow highlighted marks on like almost all of the pages. This is exciting. This is a big project for you.
Yeah, it was kind of something that after all these years of my life that it kind of bridged, you know, the chemistry and biology. I think it's kind of like the moment, and it's the bridge between drugs and natural medicine is the microbiome. It's something that everyone agrees scientifically is really important. So it bridges all that confusion. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's still complicated, but it's that bridge that almost your whole life you've been waiting for.
Well, for you, it's 35 years of being in the business. And I think for a lot of years, and I know we talked about this in our original podcast, was the deprescribing of medicine. You know, that became a passion for you, and understanding why people were sick, what was the root cause in the first place. But to have all of this information now and to have science backing a lot of this, was it nice to know, my goodness, I can put this in a book and people will actually read it and understand it and want to make changes?
You know, It's really true. I think in the 80s, you know, we would actually hand out buckets of antibiotics. You know, I would buy jugs of antibiotics and pallets of antibiotics for kids, and we'd hand them out. And I for colds and flus and bronchitis, where they were clearly proven not to be effective. And I would be arguing with doctors and my clients, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. And they always would say, what's the harm? You know, we're just preventing something more risky. There is no harm in taking all these antibiotics. And you know what? Before, when we didn't even know the word the microbiome, maybe they were right. We just were concerned about antibiotic resistance. We weren't even aware that we were destroying this crucial organ that was so important called the microbiome.
Okay, so that's where this question comes in. So let's answer that first topic. What exactly is the microbiome? I think you do an amazing job in the book describing it, but take us through right now for the listeners how you would best exemplify it.
So the microbiome is hiding in plain sight, right? It's essentially the bacteria that reside mainly in your gastrointestinal system, right? It's the 100 trillion bugs that live in your bowel and in your gut that have over 10,000 species. There's more cells in your microbiome than your whole body, and it is incredibly biologically active. It's essentially have endocrine and exocrine functions. It has it's legitimately an organ in its own right.
Okay, so the thing is that you can think, okay, well, maybe it's a little off, you know, or how does even one recognize what is happening in their microbiome? If they're healthy and, you know, things are fine, they don't really notice it, or we're not really paying attention to it. So when would you start looking, or when do people actually take into account what's happening if they're not feeling well? And I know that you're going to go through a number of lists of things that might be causing or what people might be feeling as the symptoms when it is out of whack.
You know, the most obvious things is digestive problems. And so there's at least 50% of the population is suffering from some type of digestive problem, whether it's constipation or diarrhea or bloating, gas, heartburn. So it's a lot of people with the obvious problems. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, when people have, and then there's the other part of it is things like weight regulation. If people have trouble losing weight, if people have skin problems. So we are now determining that chronic eczema or acne or rosacea is associated with problems in the microbiome. So if someone comes in with rosacea or skin problems, and you know they don't have digestive problems, you know, our treatments for those actually are giving antibiotics, but actually, which kind of kills, right, some of the inflammatory bacteria. But the price is if you ever take away those antibiotics, the conditions come back worse. And what you, as opposed to actually getting a healthier microbiome. So it might not be obvious if you have something on your skin that is coming from your gut, right? Like that's not the way we think, even medically. We go down, you know, the skin is my skin problem. I'm going to put something on my skin. The concept that is coming from another organ is still relatively foreign. And that's true with pain. Autoimmune disorders, anxiety, things like anxiety beyond the obvious, which comes from, you know, something like being in the middle of a COVID crisis. But actually, we've correlated anxiety at 90% correlation to gut inflammatory issues in the gut. So sometimes it's obvious, right? If you have a gut problem and you have symptoms, well, there you are. But sometimes it's not so obvious, you know, like skin problems or anxiety problems, that you should be looking at your gut. So that's sometimes it's from the symptoms that are associated with it as well. Because obviously with anxiety, right, or skin problems, if our treatment is giving you anti-anxiety drugs like benzodiazepines, those have serious addiction issues. We start using cannabis, right? We have a huge cannabis issue because of anxiety. Well, why wouldn't we begin to look at the gut versus recommending, you know, benzodiazepines or cannabis?
It was interesting. One of the start of the chapters in the book talked about this client that came in, well, who eventually became a client, because they walked in and said to you, you know, I've tried these 41 antidepressants, so I'm waiting on the newest research as to what number 42 is going to be, because the 42nd antidepressant that I try might be the one that actually works. And so everyone is constantly waiting for that next magic pill. And the problem was that you said number 42 isn't going to make any difference for you either. Let's go back, you know, and it was this battle of, are you going to do what it's going to take to make this work? And so how are you starting to convince people to look outside of taking the next pill, or take two and take it three times a day and call me in the morning, you know, that you're trying to convince people to take a deeper look into the microbiome?
You know, it's really frustrating with the world of antidepressants is, you know, in meta-analysis, they really, you know, in mild to moderate depression, not in severe depression, but mild to moderate depression, repeatedly they've proven to be no more effective than placebo in terms of quality of life outcomes. And we continue, I mean, from 40 years ago, we 100% believe in the serotonin theory, right? These drugs block the reuptake of serotonin. We believe in that serotonin theory. So if we believe in that theory, we should technically really understand how serotonin is metabolized and regulated and handled in the brain. We now know that the microbiome is the primary organ and allowing serotonin to actually get into the brain. So even if we believe in the serotonin theory, you have to should technically be all over serotonin and understand how it works, right? That the gut is involved in serotonin. And then, for example, in young women, we have controlled studies that vitamin B6 is proven in at least 3 controlled studies to be effective for depression. We know the activation of B6 from food sources to be activated requires the microbiome to activate it. So it's fascinating. You know, and B6 is essential to form serotonin in the brain. So even if we believe in the theory, why don't we go all the way and understand the biology or the chemistry of serotonin naturally? It doesn't make sense to me that you just are like you're waiting for number 42, but maybe there's something disrupted in the way you, if you believe in the serotonin theory of depression, maybe you should go a little deeper into how actually the body handles, metabolizes, distributes it.
You mentioned serotonin. And so this, I was kind of paging through things because you had this list and it's early on in the book because then you break it down, but the top 8 ways your gut and your brain communicate. And so we have the vagus nerve. And so if you don't mind, I want to hit a little bit on all of these because it's an essential part. The vagus nerve, cortisol, neurotransmitters, which as you just mentioned, were serotonin. You have the neuropeptides, so the gut hormones. You have absorption, metabolism, and activation of nutrients and minerals, sex hormone disruption, bacterial strains, and drugs like over-the-counter. So these are what you call the 8 ways that there is a communication.
We're just beginning. There's probably, yeah. I just tried to say, okay, how about I find 8 ways and then we'll just go from there, right? Because
right.
You have to stop because every time just before I was reading, oh, look at this, you know, this new cytokine from this bacteria messes up your brain. You know what I mean? There's all these different things happening.
So can we just so people have an understanding because, you know, while we feel a different correlation, where the correlation is coming from by what's happening in the gut as to what's being triggered in the brain and to then how we respond. Right. So let's go with the vagus nerve. What are we referring to? What are we talking about there?
So the vagus nerve is a nerve that actually is a direct superhighway from the brain to the gut. It's a nerve going one that goes, it's a direct pathway. So we all know if we get anxious, we can get upset in our stomach, right? We all know that, you know, if I get nervous, I can, to a certain extent, I can even throw up, right? That's pretty direct. But it actually can go the other way. There's a direct superhighway that goes both ways. So certain inflammatory substances from bacteria in the gut can inflame the vagus nerve, so you feel anxious. So it's not just one, it's not the way that we all traditionally think. I'm anxious, therefore my gut is upset. Your gut is upset, therefore you feel anxious. So that's pretty clear.
Okay.
And the vagus nerve will alter your anxiety, will alter this bacteria in your gut as well. So when the more anxious you are, so the more you will disrupt bacteria in your gut as well. It goes actually, and the more disrupted your bacteria in your gut are, the more inflamed you are. So it's quite fascinating, just like exercise improves your gut bacteria.
Yeah, we're going to get to the solutions because I'm excited to that.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fascinating. And then we get to the cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And I remember when I wasn't sleeping, when I was working the morning show and getting up at 3:30 in the morning, I always had this extra layer of just that bloat, that that extra layer. And everyone that I talked to, because I was eating healthy and you know, and trying to eat right, but it was that stress of the lack of sleep and stuff. And it kept saying it's your cortisol, you know? And so what are the cortisol?
Cortisol is it. So we used to even think cortisol was just, you know, more stressed you are from the more cortisol you have. But actually, we actually show now a tremendous, it's actually what we call, I was just attended a lecture conference called Hiding in Plain Sight, where we actually know that the relationship of the liver and bile regulates cortisol, which regulates the microbiome. So now you're starting to see, oh, stress affects your bile production, affects your microbiome. So it's even getting more interesting how there's, you know, how all these things are playing out. And if you're not producing bile correctly or proper bile, of course, traditionally you see this epidemic of, you know, gallbladder problems, but that actually can be related to the actual quality of your microbiome and cortisol. So again, it's quite fascinating that you, and that gets into your sex hormones. So this relationship to liver, bile, microbiome, and your sex hormones. So it's more complicated than you think, but it's actually starting to make a lot of sense that all of these things are interrelated. And, you know, is it just cortisol, or is it your gut, or is it your microbiome, and is it your lifestyle, right? If you're awake, or is it all of them, how they interact?
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at it and it's like it's regulating your blood sugar levels, your metabolism, your inflammation, your memory. I mean, when we talk about brain fog, like all of this kind of trickles in. And
so going to brain fog, right? When you say, so someone would have a brain fog issue, where would you start looking? Because it's, or low energy, right? These are the low energy is the number one thing that actually we pay for on that people see doctors for is in Ontario. It's actually low energy, number one. But where do you start after you've ruled out the obvious, right? Things like, you know, no, your thyroid's fine. You're not anemic. You're not low in B12. You would start looking around at the microbiome, brain fog.
Where would people historically have been looking if someone comes in saying, I've got low energy? What would we have been doing 20 years ago when someone came in?
Well, we still do today. You do a blood, you do a routine blood work. You're not in, you know, you're not anemic. Maybe you checked your B12 levels. Maybe you've had your thyroid checked. After that, where do you go from a classic medical point of view?
Where are people going? Are they getting here, take this or do this prior to us understanding regulating our systems?
Low energy and fatigue, low energy and brain, but low energy can be symptoms of depression. So again, you might wind up sliding into a depressive diagnosis and be offered, obviously it can be related to poor sleep, lifestyle, I mean, other things that have to be investigated. I just want the microbiome to be put on the table. So as a consideration, so again, going to that person who says I have low energy, but they have a, you know, significant digestive problems, sometimes it's hiding in plain sight. Do you know what I mean? Well, there's no risk to improving your digestive problems. Oh, and by the way, your energy goes up and your brain fog gets better. You know, you see where I'm going with this, right? It's pretty, it's not like, whereas if it, sometimes your doctor or me, when you see me, you have to do a little more detective work as to where it's going. But sometimes our detective work is, you know, and legitimately doctors, you know, if you see someone quickly for a few, you know, you do the obvious, how do you start beginning to go into the microbiome or even digestion when honestly, after you've ruled out something serious, like cancer or a bleeding ulcer, a doctor's office can probably want to be one of the most dangerous places to be with a digestive problem because you can be prescribed a lot of very harmful drugs for your microbiome.
Yeah, I can't wait to hit on that because of what these drugs are, that they're destroying the microbiome. I just want to hit through the rest of the eight so that people have the understanding and then go through it. Because the next one I had was the neurotransmitters, which was the serotonin, the dopamine. And as we said, 90% of serotonin is produced in the gut. This is our feel good transmitters.
It's not only, so there's certain researchers that are mapping certain species of bacteria that actually produce neurotransmitters, but it's actually even deeper than that, that they are actually regulating, the microbiome is regulating the bioavailability of neurotransmitters passing into the brain, the blood-brain barrier. So it's not only the production, it's actually the regulation. So it's actually even more profound than just like a simple chemical, here we get more. It's actually regulating the actual the balance and bioavailability. It's quite like,
It's fascinating. And then from there, you go to the neuropeptides, which are important, especially in communicating between hunger and satiation, of, you know, being able to say when you're full or when you're hungry, if that's disrupted. And
yeah, so even the weight regulatory, so the weight regulatory peptides like ghrelin, we now know that, and insulin and all these different peptides and even your insulin sensitivity can be modulated and mediated through gut bacteria. So one of the most profound things for me is when I have a type 2 diabetic patient, and I can now say, if you change your gut, you will see a dramatic improvement, if not reversal, in your blood sugar levels. And you can, you know, it's not controversial. You just measure your blood sugar and you see them normalize and weight normalize in these clients who have had traditional problems losing weight. And again, it's often a different way of thinking. I had a client with diabetes who said, no, you got to eat fruits and vegetables. Yeah, but don't they have sugar in them? Oh, no. Measure your blood sugar. Watch. Take away these processed things. Take your soluble, you know, all the good stuff. And let's track your blood sugar. And he goes, oh, my God, it's like going to normal. Like, and this is not, you know, what's going on? This is not kind of what anyone tells me. I know this is ridiculous.
We go through it. And then after those eight, we kind of hit on that. You go into bacterial strains, but you hit on magnesium and iron in there as well. So what effect are those having, especially too in our absorption or being able to metabolize these minerals?
So I just did an Instagram IGTV on this, iron. I spent, you know, I was a geek at the University of Toronto. I did iron with a radio pharmacist measuring, you know, not working on radios, but radioactive compounds that you would attach to substances for diagnostic or therapeutic or research purposes. And I would tag iron and we could track it in each other. And I wrote a paper on how iron is absorbed and handled. And I thought I knew everything about the absorption of iron, what type of iron to use. I designed an iron that is still used by like all the midwives of Toronto. I thought like I was the iron guru. And then you start working on the, but you still had people over the years, usually women, who you just never could get their iron levels up, right? They're always in, they would be told, well, I guess you're low in iron. That's just the way you are. And it's a big deal, right? If you're always low in iron, because it affects your ability to act, maybe not, but it can affect your immune system, your energy levels, your ability to exercise. Well, when you improve the microbiome, literally iron levels jump like crazy, almost independent of the type of iron you're using. So it's almost like you take all those years of me being the chemistry only iron guy to going, well, if you've always been low in iron, before I start giving you fancy iron, you have to improve your iron, your microbiome, because that energizes the absorptive capacity of your gut. It's literally it powers up the way you absorb nutrients, a healthy microbiome. And then you see iron levels, you know, power up higher than you've ever seen. So it's quite stark, something that I thought I knew so much about.
Right. But if you were at this point trying to give the iron, where are they finding this other place to be able to get the iron for that microbiome? Like you were saying, by those changes, what changes are you referring to?
Well, by, for example, improving soluble fiber in the diet will probably have as profound a difference as taking, but, or it will improve iron absorption. Improving if there's inflammation in the bowel, improving that. So improving the bacterial structure. So it's regular microbiome improvement will improve iron absorption, and as opposed to just piling in more and more iron of different types.
So saying that through medicine, through taking in the iron that way, or, and so I'm assuming then that's by foods. When you're talking about,
you know, food, it's hard to get foods. You know, I mean, if a woman is menstruating, she needs 30 milligrams of iron a day. If she's not eating enough meat, then, which is very common, then that might be hard to do. But even then, you know, if she's even, it's, what I'm saying is that if I talk like a chemist, then I will say you need so many milligrams of iron a day. You have so many milligrams in your diet. You're short. Therefore, I have here, take this iron supplement. You will do better. What I'm saying today is that may be true, but what is the status of your microbiome? Oh, it's poor. You may not need to supplement as much with iron with a healthier gut. You will still see your iron levels jump even when, if you have an unhealthy microbiome. So that's kind of, is what, before it was going pure chemistry, right? That's right. All I'm saying. It was all, you're low in iron, you need iron, here you go. You have an iron you have an iron gap between what, you know, I talk about this a lot, right? Fiber gap, a B6 gap. You have a gap between what you're taking in your diet and what you should actually, you need to build up your iron levels. So if you have an iron gap, traditionally, we would only give you supplemental iron. Today, I think we see more often that you still may need to do it, but you may need to use a lot less, or maybe not at all with a healthier gut. It makes sense.
It really does. There's going to be two topics that I want to hit on and spend time on. One is going to be antibiotics and what it does to our microbiome. And the second one is going to be hitting on the hormones, because I know Suzanne Summers actually wrote a wonderful foreword, and she was a big part of where it was that you went years ago and has continued to be a great supporter of yours. It's funny. I actually went on an antibiotic. I actually had root canal done a while ago, and I actually had to be on an antibiotic. And I think because my system is not used to having many foreign things in it, my entire system reacted. Like nothing felt good taking those antibiotics. And it wasn't until maybe like 3-4 days in that I just felt so off being on this. What was happening? Like, what happens when we take the antibiotics as it's going through our system?
Well, it's devastating to your microbiome. It really mows down, you know, think of a lawn. It just kills all the grass, almost kills all the grass, or suppresses, and depending on the antibiotic you're using. But, you know, it's very devastating to the microbiome. And of course, species and bugs that are more resistant to that antibiotic will now fill in the gaps and kind of dominate, right? So it can be quite devastating to your microbiome. Period.
So then what's happening? I know oftentimes we hear that when we take an antibiotic, we need to be taking a probiotic. So it's just the counterbalance of adding in the good bacteria to ward off the bad. What's your take on that? If we have to take the antibiotics.
Yeah. So we've just proven, for example, if you take a probiotic while you're taking an antibiotic, you'll prevent diarrhea, you'll prevent some of the gastrointestinal side effects of the antibiotic. So it's really a good idea to take probiotics while you're taking an antibiotic to mitigate the effects of the antibiotic. That's just the way it is. You're also trying to seed and maintain healthy structures in the bowel, kind of, even though they're getting mowed down. You're really trying to maintain, you know, healthy structures so that you can recover quicker after, you know, the antibiotic is suppressed.
Yeah, it wasn't really my the gut system. It seemed like everything else. It's amazing. I reflected on it because it was just such a change into how I normally felt. But the thing is that people are still very much, they have something there's a pill that's going to fix it. And when people come in and they go through your experience, it's breaking down everything. So what is happening when someone walks in to NutriCam and says, I usually get prescribed this, or I'm taking this and I've been taking this for 10 years and nothing seems to be changing? What are you doing? What are you testing to be able to understand what is happening in the body so that you can start focusing on making the microbiome better? Because I think I learned through the book, like, there are four different sections almost, right, to it. And if one of them is off, it's nothing's really working well.
Well, you know, I mean, just I'll go to that, but I mean, just perspective, you know, I mean, here you're healthy. I mean, and you're taking something now, we're even having a discussion about antibiotics. Think about my life where people would literally be taking truckloads of antibiotics for anything that wasn't even like colds and viruses that they didn't work, right? Like, and so now you're at least aware that you're taking something for an infection. That's a big deal to me. Like, so, you know, it's so much better than at least saying, oh, should I take a probiotic? Well, yeah, it's proven to mitigate the side effects of taking an antibiotic. They're, like, that's so nice. And you're using an antibiotic for something that it should be used for. I mean, that's kind of nice to be having that conversation for the first time, right? So it's kind of nice. And people are more cautious. They are, you know, it used to be, I went to a doctor and he didn't give me anything. What a bad doctor. Now it's like, you really think you should give me this antibiotic, doctor? You know what I mean? It's changed, you know, so that's really positive. Now, in terms of when someone comes to see me, obviously, you know, we have some great doctors, but of course, like anything, we all tend to be, you know, as people get sicker and sicker, they tend to go down their own silo, right? If it's a skin doctor, the skin doctor silo. If it's brain, mental health, down the mental health silo. If it's a heart, we go deeper and deeper, and often it gets down that. So my job, first of all, is to look at all the drugs and the things they're doing and saying, you know, this drug can cause, like, these drugs that you're taking for your gut, we may not be addressed by the doctor that's looking after your brain. You know what I mean? So my first thing is to look at the whole picture. And then ultimately, the evidence is that root cause issues come from the microbiome first. So you're always looking for digestive health as a primary issue in virtually any issue if it's not been looked at. And then you're looking at other obvious things like iron. You know, sometimes I have people that have had mental health issues who've never had their iron measured, for example, and they've been deficient in iron or low in thyroid or other chemistries that they've been deficient in. And then you're putting, and then hormones, you brought that up. Yes, absolutely. Hormones can play a role. Cortisol, thyroid functions, testosterone levels, and all of these systems interact. So it's really about looking globally at the whole thing versus, like you gave the first example, someone coming in with 41, you know, and I'm not exaggerating sometimes, you know, 20 different antidepressants, hoping number 22 would be the answer, versus saying, oh my God, your digestive system is very unhealthy, you know, and it goes to claim, you know, you can't claim that someone's improving someone's digestive problem will fix all their mental health issues. You can absolutely claim that having an unhealthy digestive system has proven to be associated with more mental health issues, period. You see, it's subtle, but very important.
It is. It's subtle. But if it's going to have that much of a domino effect on every other aspect of your health, why wouldn't you start there?
You're right. But a lot of the reason is why I wrote the book. You might not get support for it, right? You know, you went to this kook who you have had years of mental health issues, who's trying to solve your digestive problems. What does that have to do? Or serious pain. You know, I'd have people who, you know, one of my speakers that is going to be at my book launch came with severe pain issues. And she was dying with the amount of narcotics and opioids that were being prescribed to her. And I started off by dealing with her digestive problems, right? So you can you imagine without support that you're she's coming to a guy who's helping her, and her digestive system had shut down with the opioids. So, but here I am focusing on digestion without focusing on the pain. You see what I'm saying? It seems cuckoo if you think about it.
Well, it could, but if she's been on that many years of narcotics and opioids and is in desperate, like chronic inflammation and pain, I think at one point you get to say, I can't carry on doing it this way. So it's almost like the bottom line. Like, it's like, okay.
I'm like the last resort, but why wouldn't your digestive health be something that's considered? And literally, and even that was for me quite, you know, sometimes you hit these individuals with like pain or addiction that are so dramatic that it's just almost like it's almost like breathtaking, which is still amazing to me that the body in even the most extreme situations, the microbiome, nature wants to be healthy and just needs to be nudged that way. You know, it's not about perfection. It's about amazing when you do some things right, how quickly the body will want to be healthy. It's kind of beautiful.
Well, it is. And that's the nudge, I think, that sometimes you need. And your nudge is about a 30-day nudge. When people come in, they've got about a 30-day, like, you know, cursing your name and hating what you're saying. And, you know, it's difficult. And because the first answer is going to be, you're going to take certain things out or you're going to be adding certain things in, especially when it comes to diet.
You know, you're right. I'm only doing short-term nudge. Now, you know, back in the past, you know, I observed that people, this is like 30 years ago, that people taking gluten out of their diet, it would improve things. And I thought it was very, like I was thinking reductionist, meaning, maybe it's a food that's messing up people. And so I was part of that kind of group that was taking out dairy and gluten and stuff like that. Today, everyone who comes in, going to your point, will leave with being able to eat more food, not less food. I think it's a failure to be more food restrictive than forcing people to be restrictive. Because really, food restriction is a symptom of an unhealthy microbiome. You see the difference? One is saying, all these diets that people are suffering. So I tried very innovative diets or variations of carb restrictions, specific carbohydrate diets, low FODMAP diets, gluten, dairy, and people responded. But people would be stuck on these things for long term because that's the only thing that semi-helped them. Now, I just think, no, that's just a symptom of an unhealthy microbiome. You should be able to eat more foods.
Okay, so how then are you then adding things in to be able to heal the microbiome? Because what you're saying is that we have an ability to heal it. We have an ability to make it balanced so that everything is functioning as it should be with all of the quadrillion, you know, micro, like, what are they called? Like germs, bacteria, whatever it is that we have that's shooting up to our brain and telling our brain that we're healthy and we're managing in all the right places. So what are you giving us? Like, what are you saying you need to now add in or what does the microbiome affect? Like what does it like to see there that's going to make it go, this feels good.
Sometimes, and again, I just did another, you know, I did this little podcast calling my rocky relationship with fiber. So, okay. So fiber is like the superfood of a healthy microbiome. And for the last 30 years ago, I would hand people fiber who had, you know, digestive problems because I was taught that, you know, it's important. And most Canadians, we have a fiber gap, right? The majority by like not every Canadian doesn't get enough fiber according to the food guides. So I would give people supplemental fiber. But one third of them would say, I'm a superhero. Like, you know, I'm the best thing in the world. One third would have no problems. But another third would tell me I'm trying to kill them. Like, what, you know, more gas and bloating and problems. Their life has turned them to hell since I gave them this fiber. And so guess what you'd wind up doing? You wouldn't give fiber to people because you can't have one third of your clients hating you, right? So you can't function. But that didn't make sense to me, right? Like, why is it so good? Why is so many people have bad problems? So the reason for that is their gut bacteria and bowels are inflamed. They have too many weeds in their lawn, right? Their lawn is full of weeds. And if you go and water it with like soluble fiber or water, you're going to grow more weeds, right? That's pretty straightforward. So going to your point, and what if those weeds are inflaming the lawn and it's literally on fire? Now your lawn's burning, there's weeds growing, and you're going, oh, I'm going to go throw some fuel on, you know, some fuel on the fire, right? It's going to go crazy. So you have to actually just go in order sometimes, depending on the severity. You have to heal the gut. How do we do that? Well, there's different polyphenolics that we use, which are prebiotic fibers that are proven to reduce inflammation. They improve this Clostridia cluster 4 acromantia layer that actually put energy into the bowel. They heal the tight junctions, so you get all those leaking and so they calm things down. So you calm the thing first. We might use testing to actually see what kind of bugs are inflaming the gut. Are there some more very resistant fungi or bugs that are hard to get rid of? So we might have to do some weeding with some herbs that actually will help bring these down. We defuel the inflammation in the short term with a restrictive diet, with the, you know, that kind of stop feeding the inflammatory bugs. Because guess what? The bugs that really are most disruptive love processed sugars, you know, refined sugars, crappy foods. They just grow like crazy on that stuff. And so you're kind of just doing an obvious calm the thing down, heal the thing. And then when you're in great, and then some probiotics, specific kinds that actually can work against the bugs that are inflaming you and start to heal and repair the good structures of your gut. And then when you're healthy, pound away the fiber to maintain it. Pound it. You're not going to fall back with soluble fiber, whether it's from your diet or supplementing. It's just amazing, you know. So it's just sort of a weed, seed, calm it down and feed. And that's why I'm saying that bowel now is not so restrictive.
Right, because it's funny, right? Some people would have that reaction. I'm not doing the fiber. It hurts. It makes things worse.
Exactly.
You know, and so they give it up and then they just go back to feeling kind of miserable, going, well, fiber's not my issue. It actually makes it feel worse. But what I think and what I want people to listen to is the more, so say they are dealing with something and then you're adding in the weeds and the weeds are growing and then you're adding in more stuff. And so everything's getting bogged down. What I want people to understand is the more of the weeds and things that aren't working right in the microbiome, nothing is getting through. The pathways aren't getting through to the brain to make them feel more,
right. You're not taking advantage of all those healthy structures because those weeds are inflammatory. They'll inflame your nervous system. You'll get more pain syndromes. They'll inflame your skin. We get more heart inflammation. Cholesterol levels rise imagine, you know, your cholesterol levels will rise when that inflammation, you get more inflammation in the brain. You get more inflammation in your body. I mean, personally, when I started doing this many years ago, it was like, I thought I would do this myself. And it blew my mind, first of all, how hard it was. I mean, literally how my brain was addicted to all this junk that I thought, you know, I didn't have any digestive issues. I just thought I'd do it. And it was incredibly hard. But I played a lot of tennis and sports, and I thought I was just getting old guy inflammation. My inflammation dropped like 90% when I shifted in my joints, when I shifted my microbiome. I mean, I wasn't even aware of my own issues with my microbiome. It was like, what?
I read that. That was a fun one with you thinking that you could play tennis with the young kids and then you'd be inflamed for a couple of days. When you were talking about this stuff, I've heard a lot of people talk about leaky gut. Where in all of this does leaky gut come into play?
Leaky gut just happens when your bowel is inflamed. That's all. It's just a symptom of inflammation in your bowel. When you're starving, those cells lining your bowel, they lose the tight junctions. They lose the so the energy of those cells come from these things called short chain fatty acids, which actually come from specific bacteria with soluble fibers. So your microbiome literally creates super energy packets for the crucial cells lining your bowel, and when they're healthy and strong, your immune system is working right. They actually have regulating your immune system. Their immune system regulatory cells, they don't let junk get into your body. They reduce inflammatory cytokines. Your immune system is regulated. You absorb nutrients correctly. You power the muscular wall correctly. So it's really coming from the microbiome. So leaky gut is just another word for an unhealthy microbiome within either missing bacteria or missing soluble fiber, or you've got some pathogens that you've grown over time that are kind of growing in sheets all over the lining of your gut, right? So it's just another word for not optimal health. You don't know.
I do, but sometimes we just hear buzzwords, right?
It's a good buzzword because it's something you can picture. I'm reluctant to use a buzzword, but sometimes people go, if I go blah, 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 and they go, leaky gut. Oh, go, okay, now I got it. Okay, yeah. You got leaky gut. Oh, okay, you got a leaky gut, you know?
Okay, a lot of another buzzword for, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm entering into that,
true.
But we talked about,
true.
Yes, no, but let's go to hormones. Where do hormones come into play here? I mentioned Suzanne Summers wrote the foreword for this because we're talking about bioidentical hormones and hormone replacements and synthetic hormones. Where kind of go through your take and how this applies and why that subject was integral for this book.
Well, it's like evolutionary, right? So years ago, all women were given hormones. So that's one of the benefits of being around a long time is that you see all this stuff, right? Every woman was given a horse's hormone, estrogen, and a synthetic progesterone. And doctors were taught, and pharmacists, if you don't give a hormone to an older woman, you're a bad doctor or pharmacist. Then it went to the other side, which is actually, oh my God, these things could be dangerous. Don't give them to anybody. So today we actually have this science. We know that actual why did we give cooked up horses and synthetic progestins to women why we didn't give their own hormones to them? Today we've proven that a woman's own hormones, estrogens and progesterone, are not associated with cancer, and that synthetic progestins or the pharmaceutically cooked up progestins actually are the issues associated with cancer. So and all medical societies agree that women are being offered all kinds of therapies like antidepressants, bone building drugs, cholesterol medications, all sleeping pills, all kinds of stuff when actually hormones are more appropriate and safer. So that's sort of the medical background of that. That being said, we're dealing with an epidemic of PMS, endometriosis, infertility. Something is going on with the way with our hormones in terms of how they're being handled, because we're getting more hormonal related problems in men and women. Men's testosterone levels are falling. What is going on? So fascinatingly, the microbiome, the bacteria in your gut, are intimately involved in estrogen and estrogen metabolism. What does that mean? It means an unhealthy microbiome will not only recirculate estrogens, it'll actually make more dangerous and potent and carcinogenic and potentially carcinogenic estrogens. So what does that mean? What it means is that if a woman or a young woman particularly comes to me with a variety of disorders that are shown to be related to an imbalance of estrogen and progesterone, that may be caused by a dysfunction in the microbiome. And I've observed in the literature starting to support that improvements to the microbiome improve symptoms of PMS, perimenopause, for infertility. You see where I'm going, endometriosis. So you're into this world where all of a sudden you're going, what's happened to the world where we're getting, you know, all these issues? Did, you know, we didn't change our genes in one generation. What has happened to the environment? Is it something out there? But actually it's something inside us that's changed with the chemicals and antibiotics and structures that we've been changing. So today I'm actually less prone, you know, I still recommend hormones, but it's actually going, well, no, I won't give you hormones until you've improved your microbiome first. It's actually, I don't give hormones as often because I'm more, if for just those symptoms. So in PMS, I used to only recommend progesterone. Today I'm going, nah, improve your gut and you won't need hormones in a young woman, right? That makes so much sense. It's so much more natural and it's effective.
Okay. And Kent, I love all this information, but I know that my listeners right now are going, okay, so I get this. It's all going through the microbiome. Everything's going to come back to that. But the main question is, how do I fix it? What am I like? Because you're not going to prescribe a pill for it. So where is the shift coming from? How do we start making the changes to get ourselves on track to be able to create that that healthy environment within our gut?
You know, so the first thing, and let's go to the end of the road, okay, and then come backwards.
Okay.
Microbiome, like, so the Canada Food Guide recommends 38 grams per day of fiber for a male and 25 grams per day for a female. So I recommend that to maintain a healthy microbiome, you follow that Canada Food Guide recommendations and you look at them and you assess realistically if you're not getting them. If you have a huge fiber gap, then you supplement with soluble fiber. And there's many different ones that we recommend.
I want you to wait for me. Okay, give me off the top of your head five ways on that, how many grams we need, what can people right now purchase, consume, or make to get that intake up?
So it's difficult, right, to go, and it's difficult. That's why, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can look at the Canada, but it's hard because, you know, a whole apple may have 2 grams of soluble fiber and you need, you know, 5 grams of whole fiber. You have to have grains in your diet. So if you're restricting glutens or you're leaving less grains in your diet, immediately you're not going to be meeting the Canada Food Guide for soluble fibers. So there are better fruits and vegetables that have more fiber. Pears are the highest fiber containing fruit. Beans are one of the highest containing fiber. So a pear is 4 grams per pear, you know, versus 2 grams of these, but it's still hard to reach. So then you're into using supplemental soluble fiber. And honestly, you know, I recommend different ones. GastroGuard, Fiberific, Benefibers, all these are different fibers that are all soluble fibers. And, you know, now we're getting deep. You can go a little deeper, and that's why you have to know about fiber. You know, there's soluble and insoluble fibers. So, you know, we could have a whole podcast just on my favorite fiber topic.
Yes.
But you so I'm going backwards. So you need
right.
fiber. What can't tolerate fiber?
Okay, but when you say soluble, is it like we're just throwing like a scoop into a glass of water? Yeah, is that okay? That's what you mean by that?
If you throw in like a tablespoon of GastroGuard, you're now getting the equivalent, let's say, of seven or eight apples. It's like great. Like you can immediately, and there's some oligosaccharides like ZOS that's super potent in capsules where you're getting, again, they're equivalent to much more. So you can get like the equivalent of seven or eight fruits in three capsules. So it's kind of cool that we have that technology. But I always like to be cautious, saying, please, if you want to try and do it from food, do it. But be realistic. You know, I don't get enough in a day. I mean, I chomp stuff all the time. But if you do the numbers, 38 grams, it's just not happening, man. So I supplement. Now, that's what you need to go from there. I recommend a general probiotic. Okay, that's your maintenance. I think the evidence is very clear in terms of even probiotics, your immune system, probiotics in your... And so here's a probiotic that I recommend. That's your basic maintenance. What if that doesn't work in terms of improving all your symptoms or you can't tolerate it? Then it means, you see how I'm going backwards with this? I'm following recommendations. If you can't tolerate it or it doesn't work, then you may have to do a little more work. And can you sort it out on your own? Yes. I would probably do a quick modified paleo diet for 30 days, right? A modified paleo diet is a microbiome quick shift, and that's where you take out dairy and gluten, processed foods, grains, all grains and legumes, 30 days. And then if you aren't in a new situation, and you still think it's related to your gut, then absolutely it's worthwhile to set up appointments. And then we start figuring out where to go from there, because you can spend a lot of time fiddling around with this thing. But if it's really relevant, you may have to do a little bit more deeper investigation and work. But that's a good basic start.
That's a good base point. And are you checking stool, blood? What are you looking for when someone is coming to you and supplementation and meeting all of the requirements of fiber and proteins, that all of that's balanced?
I think it's a microbiome problem. And again, I believe in the future, you know, the assessment of the microbiome will be as basically important as your routine blood work, right? It's just that crucial that, okay, we've done your CBC and your thyroid and a microbiome check. So what's a microbiome check? Well, we can do urine, which looks at different metabolites that can come from inflamed bacteria. There's stools testing for the different structures of the gut. Each of them have limitations because, you know, even in the best stool test, you're only looking at 400 species of bacteria in a microbiome that has 10,000 species. So it's tricky, right? It's like looking at a rainforest, which can have like thousands and thousands of species, and say you can only pick, 100 species in the rainforest to see if that's a healthy rainforest. So what do you do? You pick some of the major structures you might find in a rainforest and see if they're present, depleted, or whatever is going on. So it's evolving, let's put it that way. So everything has limitations, but actually what I just said to you is, how do you respond to soluble fiber? What problems do you have that are proven to be associated with microbiome? And do you feel better after a microbiome reset diet for a few weeks? Sometimes it can be that simple.
Okay, so would it be that simple in that a person feels less bloating, less stomach pain, more energy, less fatigue, less anxiety, you know, Correct. Not as depressive? I mean, can it really be that within a 30-day of doing a reset and you know, adding some of these things in, that you feel that much of a difference? Or at least after 30 days, you're at least feeling better to at least keep going?
You know, I think an example of this is always the extreme. I remember a woman with severe pain issues, a fibromyalgia pain, and she had severe digestive issues, and she was sensitive to everything in the world, every drug. She couldn't tolerate anything. I said, all right, and she was very, 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 how shall I say it, very reluctant to try anything because she reacted to everything. So you know what, I'm just going to give you a diet, no dairy, no gluten, no junk food. That's it for 2 weeks. She called me every day saying her pain is much worse. She can't do it. I'm hurting her. And I'm saying, do you understand that what you're telling me is supporting my position that as you kill off and don't feed the inflammatory bacteria, they're creating messaging to you that you should continue to eat the junk food and dairy and gluten. I'm right, the more trouble you're having with pain. But she couldn't get, you know, I said, logically, think about it. I can't make you worse by taking junk food out of your diet, right? And sugars. But she felt physiologically terrible by removing those junk foods. The point I'm making is, would we daily calls to her still couldn't convince her that she was doing the right thing to remove junk food from her diet. But do you know, but I will tell you that people that have gone through that grief have had dramatic relief on the other side. But you see the challenge, right? It's almost the opposite kind of, so can that make a difference? Yes, you can re-change study after study. We have thousands of studies now. You can change your microbiome in 2 weeks. That's like, you will get a new gut structure in 2 weeks. I kind of do 30 days because all of us kind of aren't perfect. You know, no one's perfect, but that's a great example of how difficult it can be to change a gut structure. And without support from anyone around her, like her doctors or family or whatever, why are you suffering not taking, you know, he must be wrong. I go, no, I'm very right by the fact that you not eating junk food is making things so much worse. Quite fascinating, isn't it?
It is. And because I'm looking at the time and I've done way over, as parents, how quickly can we monitor how we're feeding and how we're doing this with our children to realize that we're getting them off to the right start of having healthy microbiomes to give them the best starting point as they...
You know, and great news about kids, you know, the great news about kids, they respond faster and more aggressively than adults do. But and a lot of the challenges with the microbiomes of kids are all the hidden attacks on the microbiome, and you're born literally with the microbiome of your mother, or in a C-section case, the microbiome of the hospital, which actually gives you a lot more risk for immune system problems and eczema and stuff like that.
No, I found that was interesting, actually, the chapter on what kids get through the vaginal canal as they're coming out and the lack of it for those that are born through C-section. That was also really interesting. In fact, there's a lot of really great information in the book. And so it's finally out. How does it feel? Like, I mean, this is 35 years worth of kind of work coming together on this. Is it nice to finally see it out?
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, I think I just had the, you know, sometimes you write a book because you just got to do it one way or the other. You just got to say, you know, and it's almost like sometimes I talk to people in this world, you know, because I come from the medical side. I'm going, this is just unbelievable because it's not even in your mind when you're taught as a doctor or a pharmacologist, right, that this is a big deal. And on the other side, you know, there's a whole group of people who actually go, you know, I should really eat well and not use many drugs and chemicals because I think it's not a good idea. I mean, but they're right. You know what I mean? It's sort of that bridge is what I'm saying, is that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, but to be able to cross that bridge to say, I'm not going to look for the next pill that hasn't really made a change in years and decades of taking this medication, that maybe there's something else. And the fact that the medication at the same time, it's a catch-22, could be the thing that's damaging the microbiome in the first place to kind of keep the cycle going. And I think that's also where the mindset needs to be, is like, you're in a vicious cycle.
You know, we all want to be simple answers, right? If we want to go to one professional, like your doctor, and have him be the guy fixing all my issues. And the reality is, they're, you know, I know how they think. That's how I'm trained. But you're thinking you're not thinking in terms of the biology. You're thinking in terms of the chemistry of that drug. the biology, and that's why I use the word biology. The biology is what we're all involved with, right? That ecosystem of that's inside us and the ecosystem that's outside of us. That's something we all know and can relate to.
So I want people to know the book is actually going to be out. We got the big launch, which is happening on Thursday. So the podcast is coming out in the morning, and then we've got the Facebook Live launch. And I know, I can't believe it. I think there's like almost 1,000 people ready to go for this by the time we get to Thursday. So it's really quite exciting. But also, NutriChem, you have this brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art facility. I went for a tour. It's like, Kent, it is remarkable what you have done. And I think for those that believe and are looking at this in their preventative health, it is making such a change for people.
I know. I mean, when you say writing the book, I did build this 11,000 square foot NAFRA facility in the middle of all this. So it's certainly, we've been very busy, and but I did it because, you know what? I have an amazing team working for me, you know, so that's pretty exciting.
No, it is. Okay, looking forward to that. People can find more information at NutriChem. Just head to the website. And then, of course, again, the book is called Biology of the Brain, How Your Gut Microbiome Affects Your Brain, from Kent McLeod. You've got the foreword by Suzanne Summers. Lots of great information. And the best thing is just to order the book through the store as well. So you've got lots of access to it. Kent, looking forward to the Facebook Live and the official book launch. We got lots of people joining us later today. And to all of the listeners, thank you so much. And if you know people who are struggling, honestly, share the podcast, share this information, and take a good look at what it is that you've got coming into your system and how your gut's been reacting to it, and kind of see maybe where some of those changes can be made. Kent, thank you so much, and always a pleasure to chat.
All right. Thank you, Leanne. Bye.
Thanks so much. Once again, that's another episode of Living Your Life with Leanne Lang.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at ivisonvoice.com/podcast.